is the name of her talk. I asked Kat, whose own dancing and choreography have often been described as boundary-pushing and innovative, why she feels so strongly about this issue.
The concept of innovation has been something that I've been playing with ever since I was sort of 5 years old. As an Indigenous artist, we often come up against colonial or Western understandings of what innovation is. And so I've taken this opportunity to go there and to offer an Indigenous perspective of what it means to create, what it means to be a maker, and what it means to experiment.
I can't help thinking, though, I mean, you've done so much groundbreaking work over your life. Have you ever been described as innovative? An innovative choreographer, an innovative dancer or mentor?
Thank you. Yes, I have. I often get described in that way, and I think that that word actually comes from funding models a lot, because CNZ and other sort of governmental funding bodies use the word innovation, and you are often in need of proving your ability to innovate when you're trying to get the funding that you need to put on your work. So it's actually become quite a heavily used word. I'm not saying that I don't like it. It's actually a big part of my identity. But I think given the position that I'm in now as a mother and as somebody who is now one of the kaitiaki of the dance sector, I really have to look at what innovation is going to mean as we move into this sort of complex future.
I was thinking about those who are traditional. We talk a lot about fusion and as part of innovation, don't we, that you take from the past and then you create something brand new.
Yes.
So does that mean that those traditional craftspeople, for example, those who are firmly rooted in the traditional, is this what you mean by being overlooked, you know, not fitting into that innovative category, but
yeah,
doing such important work?
That's right. I think that's something that I'm really interested in, and I call these people maintainers. For example, there's a beautiful man who I see every morning when I drop my daughter off at Kura, who blows the leaves away from the path that everybody has to walk through. You might not notice him, but every day he has this important maintaining work to do so that the kids are safe when they walk from the car to the door. And essentially, if we were to put a Māori spin on it, it'd be people who are looking after the manaakitanga of spaces. And if we look at artists, it's the people who are looking after the whakaro and the ideas and the ways of our ancestors so that when we innovate, we're in a position of knowing where we come from.
So what would you like to see happen? Are you concerned that those very traditional crafts, if you like, or aspects of creativity are being undermined and perhaps won't continue to be studied by upcoming generations of artists who are being steered down this path of creating something other?
Well, I think every approach to arts has its place and every approach is important. I'm more interested in how people who are interested in innovating might bring consciousness and awareness to how they're doing that and to what has come before them.
There's also this assumption, isn't there, that innovation means good, means better. And it doesn't necessarily, does it? You know, we've had some interesting failures in this regard of innovation, but it's still kind of celebrated, you know, like you need to be striving to
Absolutely.
Innovate.
Absolutely. And that's an idea that is deeply ingrained in me as a contemporary artist of, you know, the more that you are innovating, the smarter you are, the more important you are, the wealthier you'll become, and all of these kind of notions. So, yeah, I think I'm just sort of trying to slow down a little bit with that idea and bring attention to the people and the systems that ensure that we can continue through the maintenance that they do.
So as part of this kōrero that you're having as the first, and I'd have to say probably innovative, tiny festival, squeezing a festival into 14 hours.
Absolutely.
What are you hoping might come from it, Kat? I mean, you're all about opening up conversations.
Just a widening in our thinking. So often when we think about innovation, there are some deeply embedded assumptions within that notion that we're not always aware of, because it's so deeply ingrained in us that innovation can only be good. We are moving into a complex future where the planet is melting, and our approach to innovation perhaps needs to have awareness around how we might innovate around a planet that is going to restore its whole water and its wellness. And so really just the whole festival itself is based on innovation and experimentalism. And I want to whakamana or give mana to that kaupapa, but also at the same time I can't help but resist against that a little bit, and to just sort of widen our understanding of what innovation can be.
You're a very busy mentor and you're working with rangatahi. Why are you so dedicated to it, and what are your hopes for them in the future?
I'm dedicated to it because when I was a rangatahi, I was in serious lack of kaitiaki, of guiders, of mentors, of people who could relate to the background that I came from. And so very early on I saw a huge gap in mentorship within the arts, particularly for the Indigenous young rangatahi of Te Moana Nui Akiwa, Māori and Pacifica. So I'm driven by my own experiences in life. And I just hope that mentorship becomes work that has more of a developed infrastructure, so that artists are always supported, because often when young artists are in training, they're still trying to figure out who they are. And so I think mentorship is a really, really important. It should be just taken for granted that there are people around young artists to move them through their work, to help them.
Yeah. Do you get a sense from them whether they have felt that their creative side has been valued in whatever school, institution that they've gone through? Because we know that the humanities have been forced into the back seat in the last couple of decades, certainly at tertiary and also at school level. So do they talk to you about that?
This is a very timely question, actually, because the institution that I used to work at, MIT, the Performing Arts or the Creative Arts faculty there, has just decided to close its doors. And so there's no Pacific Institute of Performing Arts anymore, as we know. There will be no Manukau Institute of Technology. And both of these whare used to really, you know, look after Māori and Pacifica artists. And so what's going to happen, I wonder, for these incredibly talented rangatahi who may not have anywhere to go?
Left in limbo by the sound of things.
Yeah, they do need skills, and they also need to see themselves reflected in the teachers. Who knows what's going to happen.
Your flat out cat, you've taken over the Tempo Dance Festival, got one under your belt, I think, haven't
yes.
you? And what are your hopes for Tempo? I mean, that's got a long history now, but you'll be wanting to stamp your own mark on it.
It does have a long history. It's coming up to its 20th anniversary next year, actually. And it has an illustrious history. It's been well looked after by some incredibly strong, clever women. So I come to the role with an incredible whakapapa already in place. Dance in Aotearoa is just incredibly diverse. You know, we have as many dance forms as we do cultures here. And so my dream is just to reflect that, and it sounds like a really simple gesture, but actually to be able to open enough space for as many diverse dance forms that we have in this country is actually, it's a big project. I think for a long time the dance sector has privileged certain dance forms over others, and so I think the role that I have, given the relationships that I've been able to form over time with various artists from various communities, it means that I'm in a good place to open more doors up to various dance styles.
Yeah, 20 years, that's a good length of time, isn't it, to reflect. And you've had a long involvement with Tempo, of course, mentoring and performing over the years. Do you feel attitudes towards dance have changed over those 20 years?
I think certainly attitudes to dance have changed. I think festivals have done a vital absolutely vital to artists being able to test, experiment, find their way before they go elsewhere. Tempo Dance Festival in particular has a core focus on platforming choreographers that are blooming. And so we actually do a lot to offer professional development around staging new work. And really, you know, talking to Julia Harvey, the director of Tiny Fest, around the difficulties of putting infrastructure in place, because down in Christchurch, you know, they don't have a dance festival and they don't have a fringe festival. But actually that work is so, so important, because artists can't afford to present their work, you know, in mainstream spaces or large, you know, large theatre venues. They just simply can't afford it without assistance.